Well, good morning. I'm glad you could be with us. I think there's a lot of visitors, and we welcome you, especially this morning. Before we get into the Bible this morning, we're going to read a passage in Joshua chapter 6, a couple verses in Joshua chapter 6, and then eventually the entire chapter of Joshua chapter 7, and that is going to be our main text this morning. But prior to doing that, I want to just introduce, or maybe by way of introduction, introduce my message with a little bit of information. Many of you have heard that saying in business, location, location, location. And maybe most of us would understand that the idea of that is a business thrives oftentimes on where it is positioned. A gas station on the wrong side, the accessibility, you get the idea. Location, location, location. And so this morning, my goal through the preaching of the Word of God is to properly locate you. And you might say, well, I know exactly where I am. But I'm talking in the spiritual world. Where are you located? In our audience this morning, I am aware of people that are not saved, that are not born again, that do not have a relationship with the God of heaven. And the reason behind that could be a number of things, but ultimately, there's one thing in the way. It has distinguished itself in many different ways. It has the guise of many different things. But ultimately, it's sin. Sin is in the way of salvation. My topic this morning, I've simply entitled it, The Seriousness of Sin. We live in a day and age where there's new sins that are very forefront. Things that are not according to the Word of God. Things that are very clearly stated in the Word of God as sin. Whatever sin that is, that you might be participating in, if you are not saved, it is in the way of you coming to God. Now, I'm not preaching that you need to clean up your act, because God does not save righteous people or self-righteous people or people that have cleaned up their act. God saves people that are in their sins. The Bible is very clear. It says, He came to seek and to save the lost. And so that's my goal this morning, is to properly locate you. If you are lost in your sins and have no relationship with the God of heaven. I'm reading from the Everyday Bible just because I think it may help us understand this story maybe a little clearer. I normally have the King James Version, but I think this does it very good justice on the storyline and the idea that's represented here this morning in this story. So I'll just give you a little bit of background. The children of Israel are led by Joshua, their God-appointed leader, and they're going to take over the land of Canaan. And so they take city by city, and they just conquered Jericho, and God gave them a tremendous victory over the people of Jericho, over the city of Jericho, and they move on to this little city called Ai. And God's instructions are very clear to them, to destroy the city and all the people within and take the gold, the silver, and put it in the treasury of God. But do not, God is very clear, do not take anything for yourself. Take none of the spoil. And so that's the background of our little story this morning. So here we'll just read the entire chapter. And I left my glasses at work and they were in Summerside. So bear with me. I'm going to try to get through this. The sin of Achan. But the people of Israel did not obey the Lord. There was a man from the tribe of Judah named Achan. He was the son of Carmi and grandson of Zimri, and Zimri was the son of Zerah. Achan kept some of the things that were to be given to the Lord, so the Lord became very angry at the Israelites. Joshua sent some men from Jericho to Ai. Ai was near Beth-Aven, east of Bethel. He told them, go to Ai and spy out the area. So the men went to spy out Ai, on Ai. Later they came back to Joshua. They said, there are only a few men in Ai to fight against us, so we will not need for all our people to defeat them. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to fight there. There is no need to send all of our people. So about 3,000 men went to Ai. But the people of Ai beat them badly. The people of Ai chased the Israelites. They chased them from the city gate all the way to where the stones were cut from the ground. They killed about 36 Israelites as they went down the hill. When the Israelites saw this, they became very afraid. Then Joshua tore his clothes to show how upset he was. He bowed face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, and he stayed there until evening. The leaders of Israel did the same thing. They also threw dirt on their heads to show they were upset. Then Joshua said, Lord God, you brought our people across the Jordan River. Why did you bring us this far and let the Amorites destroy us? We should have been happy to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Lord, there is nothing I can say now. Israel has been beaten by the enemy. The Canaanites and all the other people in the country will hear about this. They will surround and kill all of us. Then what will you do for your own great name? The Lord said to Joshua, stand up. Why are you down on your face? The Israelites have sinned. They have broken the agreement I commanded them to obey. They took some of the things I commanded them to destroy. They have stolen from me. They have lied. They have taken those things to themselves. That is why the Israelites cannot face their enemies. They turn away from the fight and run. I have commanded that they be destroyed. You must destroy everything I commanded you to destroy. I will not help you anymore unless you do this. Now go, have my people make themselves holy for me. Tell them, set yourselves apart to the Lord for tomorrow. The Lord, the God of Israel, say some of you are keeping things he commanded you to destroy. You will never defeat your enemies until you throw away those things. Tomorrow morning, you must all stand before the Lord. All the tribes will stand before him. The Lord will choose one tribe, and that tribe must stand alone before him. Then the Lord will choose one family group from that tribe, and that family group must stand alone before him. Then the Lord will choose one family from that family group, and it must stand alone before him. Then the Lord will look at their family man by man. The man who is keeping what should have been destroyed will himself be destroyed by fire, and everything he owns will be destroyed with him. He has broken the agreement with the Lord. He has done a disgraceful thing among the people of Israel. Early the next morning, Joshua led all the Israel before the Lord. All the tribes stood before him. And the Lord chose the tribe of Judah. So all the family groups of Judah stood before the Lord. The Lord then chose the family group of Zerah. And all the families of Zerah stood before the Lord. Then the family of Zimri was chosen. And Joshua told all the men of that family to come before the Lord. The Lord chose Achan, son of Carmi. Carmi was a son of Zimri, and Zimri was a son of Zerah. Then Joshua said to Achan, my son, you should tell the truth. Confess to the Lord, the God of Israel. Tell me what you did. Don't try to hide anything from me. Achan answered, it is true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. That is what I did. Among the things I saw was a beautiful coat from Babylon, and I saw about 5 pounds of silver and more than 1.25 pounds of gold. I wanted these things very much for myself, so I took them. You will find them buried in the ground under my tent. The silver is under the coat. So Joshua sent some men to the tent. They ran to the tent and found the things hidden there. The silver was under the coat. The men brought them out of the tent. Then they took them to Joshua and all the Israelites. They spread them out on the ground before the Lord. Then Joshua and all the people led Achan, son of Zerah, to the Valley of Trouble. They also took the silver, the coat, and the gold. They took Achan's sons, daughters, cattle, donkey, sheep, tent, and everything he owned. Joshua said, "I don't know why you caused so much trouble for us, but now the Lord will bring trouble to you." Then all the people threw stones at Achan until he died. They also killed his family with stones. Then the people burned them. They piled rocks over Achan's body, and those rocks are still there today. This is why it is called the Valley of Trouble. After this, the Lord was no longer angry. Quite a story. Why would God record this story? I believe he recorded it because of the seriousness of sin. Achan disobeyed God. And the consequences of his disobedience, as we've just read, were almost beyond understanding. Some have said that maybe all his children and his wife maybe understood and were part of that because he had buried them in the very tent in which they lived. So they're taken to a valley and they're stoned to death. And they're burned. This is a true story. This is the book that we claim to be the truth, recorded for us. The seriousness of sin. God punishes sin. The wages of sin is death. I see three simple little headlines here this morning. The allurement of sin, the possession of sin, and the consequences of sin. In our story, Achan was drawn to the gold in the garment. He was allured. The King James Version puts it this way: "When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid." Someone has said this: man judges character by conduct. Listen to that. We, as humans, judge character by what we see in conduct. That's the outside, isn't it? We see someone that is doing good things and we say, he's a good person. And he very, very well might be a good person. But God judges conduct by character. God judges what's inside. And our intention this morning is to let you know that inside you, there is no good. You might say that's a little harsh. But we're going to prove it from the Word of God that there's no good in us. So we're talking about the allurement of sin. We're going to talk about possession of sin. How is it that someone comes to possess sin? Well, when you sin, you take it upon your account, so to speak. So when you do a sin, a thing that is contrary to the Word of God, a thing that is wrong, it goes on your account, so to speak. When you purchase something at a store, you possess it. You've paid the money, and it becomes yours. Well, sin works like that too. Possession of sin. And we're going to talk about the severe consequences. We know in our story that Achan was stoned to death, stoned alive because of his disobedience. Because of his disobedience to the God of Israel, who is the God of heaven, who is the God that we serve. The God that we are accountable to. God knows your heart here this morning. James says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed or persuaded. The allurement of sin. Well, let's define what sin is. It's defined in Vines as just missing the mark. And you've often heard that. Maybe you've been here and you've grown up in this chapel setting. And you know that sin is described as missing the mark of what God requires. God requires perfection. Anything short of that is sin. Missing the mark. You see, we were born with a mixed up set of values. A mixed up way, the way we operate, not only because we practice sin, is because we were born sinners. And although each one of us have sinned, have fallen short of that mark, if that wasn't enough, you were born in that way also. So it's kind of like a double negative, isn't it? There's not much hope for sinners who are under judgment of God. You were born that way, and you practice it. And you continually sin or fall short of God's mark, and you continually take on yourself possession of sin. So the longer you live, the more sin you possess. It becomes yours, and you cannot get rid of it. It's yours. It's on your account. It's marked, and it's yours. The Bible says there is a way that seems right. If I just do the right thing, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The wages of our life, of our sinfulness, of our falling short of God's holy standard, the wages of that is death, spiritual death, separation from God. That's you here this morning, according to the Word of God. It's really the idea of will. When we fall short of God and what we do, it's really our own thing. We do our own thing. We have our own standards. We decide to do what we think is right, what we like. And sin entices us, we commit them, and they become ours. It's got to do with the will. Your will or God's will? You see, in our little story, I'm sure had Achan, looking back, would have understood his end. I'm pretty confident he would not have taken of the spoil of that city. I'm pretty confident if you here this morning would understand, if you would just understand that the end of the road will end you under the judgment of God, you would trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Sin on your account, by practice, by birth. There's no hope. Well, there is hope. And we're going to speak about that. Maybe your religion is your sin. How could you say that? You would say, how could religion be sin? Well, Paul the Apostle in the Bible, that was his sin. That's what separated him ultimately from God, was his zeal for religion. And he was the religious, most religious person you could imagine, but he was apart from God. His religion was his sin, because he was trying to always please God in his own will. And this is what you need to understand this morning. If you understand nothing else this morning, you need to understand that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. This gospel message that we preach isn't complicated. We're not going to use big words this morning. We're just going to simply try to locate you where you are in your life. How much sin is against your account? And how you can get to a relationship, a restored relationship to the one who created you, God Himself. You are out of relationship by birth. By your own will, you're a sinner. By practice, you're a sinner. And that simply means you're doing your own thing. Those that are unsaved cannot please God. Possession of sin. It's added each day to your account. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You're going to hear the word sin often this morning. It's not something that people want to hear anymore. But that separates you from God. Sin separates you from a holy God that cannot look upon sin. Sin is the problem. Whatever sin it may be, sin separates humanity from a holy God. Romans 2 verse 5 reads this, "But after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." You know what that verse means? Simply what I just said prior. Sin getting heaped up on your account. Keeps on getting heaped up. It's getting treasured up. It's getting stored up. And it's getting stored up against the righteous judgment of God. You see, God is perfectly just in judging you for your sin. Sin is a problem. If you walk out these doors with nothing else, understand this. Sin is in the way of you being reconciled or being brought back into a relationship with God. It is sin. And God will judge sin. He will. Because He's true to who He is. God will judge sin. You see, in our little story, it said that the families were brought before God, family by tribe, then family by family. But I don't know if you notice this little statement. It says, eventually it said, man by man. Being in this circle here with all us Christians, maybe those that have that know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, will not give you safety. You see, it's very easy to fit in with the Christians. You can start coming here. You can come to the meetings. We're pretty clean living people. And maybe that's what you desire, just to kind of clean it up and fit in. And you might very well do that. And you might fool us. But have you ever put your faith, have you ever understood yourself as lost, bankrupt, on your way to hell? Have you ever understood that? God must judge sin. We're not saying this morning that we're looking for you to clean up your act. Quite the contrary. Quite the contrary. Because the reality is, you have no power to do that. You might clean up what's on the outside, but God looketh on your heart, looks on your heart. God judges character, or sorry, conduct by character. For there is, the verse says this, "For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested or brought forth or shown, neither was anything kept secret that it should not be shed abroad." You see, the message this morning is to warn you This is a warning. A warning to flee the judgment of God. This is a warning. This is a message of warning. Are you safe? If you were to die in a car accident, would you know for sure that heaven is your final destination? That's ultimately what it boils down to, is it not? When this life is over, and if there is a heaven, and if there is a hell, where will you spend it? That's pretty simple truth. That's pretty simple. I can't spell that any plainer, more plainly. We're warning you this morning to think on these things. Some of the sins that you commit are deliberate. And I look into the faces of people that I know in the balcony, all through this auditorium. And some of you deliberately choose to put all these issues on the back burner. You're going to do it someday. It's called procrastination. You're going to deal with the issues of life and of eternity. You're going to do it, but not today. Maybe even so this morning, you might even fear the afterlife. You see, there was a man in the Bible that did that. His name was Felix. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix, it says right in the Word of God, it says he trembled. He was scared. But the verse goes on to say this: "Go thy way, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." Excuse me. Maybe when it's just a little more convenient. Maybe when I just get my affairs set in my family life and I establish a home and I establish a career, I'll get these things right. I'll just keep continuing to come here and rub shoulders with the Christians. Because you know what? They're a nice group of people. Have you ever been lost? Have you ever understood that you're a sinner, condemned? Oh, there's a lot of doom and gloom, but you know what? We're going to get to the good part. But unless you understand you're lost, you'll never be found. Because the Lord Jesus said himself, he came to seek and to save the lost. The Bible also says this: "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." No hope. You were dead. If you are a sinner this morning and you understand that, that means you are dead to God. I'm painting a pretty bleak picture this morning. I prayed with someone this morning, and you know what? We both understood. We both understood that we were lost. We could go back to a time in our lives when we were lost and we had no hope and we were without God. And our desire was to just get a hold of the truth of the gospel. And I want to tell you this morning, if you get to that point and just believe, turn from your sin, because you've inherited your sin, because you practice sin, because your sin separates you from God, and you turn to Him, you can be saved this morning. The more sins you possess, the greater the judgment there will be in a coming day. The longer you put it off, the greater the judgment will be. You need to get to the point that David did in the Psalms. He says, "For I acknowledge my transgressions," or my wrongdoings, or things that I'm against God, "and my sin is ever before me." Are you troubled this morning? Seriously, have you ever been troubled by your sin? This is all from the Word of God. This is all truth. This is all to properly locate you this morning. Because if you've never seen yourself as lost, then you can never have God's salvation. Are you bothered by your sin? You see, we have a big problem. It's huge. Sin separates, and you're a sinner. And you're separated from God. And God judges sin. He did it with Achan. He'll do it with you. The Bible says that God's judgment hovers over you. This isn't easy things to say to people. People don't want to hear that. That judgment is hovering over them. Why would anyone want to hear that? I could tell you this morning that you're going to be okay. Just carry on the way you are. Don't worry about what all that hell, fire, and brimstone stuff. Don't worry about that. Just keep on going and do the best you can. I do you a grave injustice. Because you are lost, condemned, under judgment. That's the truth. I don't know how much clearer I can tell you. If you are not born again, saved, understand that you're a sinner before a righteous, holy God who cannot look on sin. That is the truth. You will be punished. You will be punished. God has to punish sin because he is righteous and he is true to who he is. Here's the gospel. Here's the good news. There was a substitute. There was someone who paid for all your sins. It was a plan to bring boys and girls, adults, everyone in this room, there was a plan put in place so that you might be brought back into a relationship with God. The reality of that is you will never be under judgment ever again. Jesus Christ, God's Son. Think about it now. All the sin that you've committed. And if you're really true to yourself, you'll owe up to that, at least that you're a sinner. Maybe not a murderer. But you've fallen short of what God requires, which is perfect, holy. His standard is perfect. But his Son, who was perfect, your sin was laid upon him. He bore all the judgment. By doing so, God has made a way for you to not be under judgment anymore. Jesus Christ bore judgment for you. That's the good news. Maybe you say this morning, well, I believe that. I believe that. Do you really? Do you really believe that Jesus Christ? Because I'll tell you, if you really turn from your sin and look to that, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you will be saved this morning. You will be. And if you walk out these doors not saved, something's in the way. Some maybe a little bit of self-worth. Something that you think you can do to merit God's favor. You can't. You are dead in sin. But Jesus Christ, the perfect sacrifice, you know why he did that? It's because he loves you. I can't say that I could ever do that for someone, but he did because he wanted you to be with him. That's the good news of the gospel. That gives us freedom. Are you free from your sin? I am free from my sin because Jesus Christ was my substitute. He took all the sin that I did and he bore it on himself at a place called Calvary in 3 hours where his Father judged his Son. This is the Creator of heaven and earth. This is no one less than the Holy God. And he bore judgment. Your response to that will determine your destination. Do you believe that? Can you rest in that? Can you understand that there's not one act that you can do? You can come to this place from now until who knows when and still die in your sins. Coming to this place will not save you. It will not save you. Responding to the message of the substitutionary, I think we all understand. If someone doesn't understand that, please come and see me after. Substitute. He took your sins and he bore them so that you don't have to be punished. That's as simple as it is. That's the good news of the gospel. You're lost. Jesus Christ is a substitute for sinners. He bore your judgment. I hope I've been clear. I hope you walk away from this meeting understanding that you're a sinner. Jesus Christ gave the ultimate price. He gave his life so that you can be saved, born again, made new. God resides in Christians, those that have trusted him. You can't live a Christian life without being born again. You can live a self-righteous life. You can fool many people, but you cannot fool God. You can fool me. Trust him. He is absolutely trustworthy. I'm going to ask it for an amen of all those people in this room that would vouch for that. Is he trustworthy? Amen. He is absolutely 100% trustworthy. He's real. He's the creator. He loves you. He died for you. It was his plan. When you were dead and you were against him, he gave his life so that you might have life. Trust him this morning is my prayer. I'd like to close with a very common hymn. Just as I am, we'll sing all the verses of 62. Because you know what? God isn't looking for you to clean up your act. He's looking to save you just as you are, where you are, in your seat this morning. You can be saved and know for sure of heaven. What a Savior. Just as thank you. I'm going to ask our brother John Donnelly if he'd close in a word of prayer.